All right, guys, welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and I've got John Barber on the phone, and today we've got Andrew on the phone, and Andrew, I don't even know how to pronounce your last name because I didn't even ask.
It's Tullio, Andrew Tullio.
Okay, cool. So I didn't want to butcher that. So today we're going to interview Andrew, and we're going to get some good insights because Andrew has done something that a lot of people haven't done yet, and that's actually kind of navigated the minefield of the last 10, and that's the last 10 pounds. And what we've talked about in the past, in the last couple of podcasts, and even in some of the emails, is that, you know, things start to change. There's kind of a different threshold once you get to that point where a lot of the metrics that we were using kind of don't apply anymore. They become obsolete, so things like the 5 pounds per inch of waist and that type of thing, they kind of go out the door. And so we're going to talk about that, talk about some of the different, I guess, mentalities and you know, kind of aha moments that Andrew had as he's going down that far. I mean, he's got some really good pictures that, you know, obviously he's on the watch list. So, Andrew, I really appreciate you being here, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, so... Well, first of all, I mean, you did a really good job. I mean, you dropped 19 pounds, you know, some inches on the waist and things like mm-hmm. that. What were some of the big, you know, kind of insights that you can kind of just tell other people about just kind of right off the bat? I mean, you mentioned that you had a couple of interesting challenges that you had to overcome. So I guess maybe let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I think the biggest, you know, I guess one of the stumbling blocks is, you know, and you know, my personal life was finding that balance between, you know, the weekends and going out and doing my thing and trying not to put on, you know, too many inches on the waist, trying not to overdo it and all that. And I think because I personally have a girlfriend in my life, and she was very frustrating, and she made it very hard sometimes. She liked to tease and make it a little difficult, you know. All, you know, here's why don't you have a cookie with me, you know, or people when I go out to eat, it's kind of difficult to just go out and have a little food, you know, and mm-hmm. not just you know, if I'm out and everyone's, you know, having bag of chips or whatever, or, you know, having pizza, it's, you know, you kind of get that odd look when you, just stop at, you know, half a slice of pizza because you're watching your waistline. So know that, I mean, I personally, what I would do is, you know, I let loose a little bit during the weekend between like Friday, Saturday, and to a lesser extent, kind of Sunday, I kind of have a higher, calorie count then. But, mm-hmm. you know, during the week, that's kind of when the main, you know, my main focus of, all right, well, I need to watch everything coming into my mouth. You know, I put a lot of effort kind of like Monday through Thursday, or Monday mm-hmm. through the first half of Friday is where a tremendous amount of my energy really spent, at least in the diet. Yeah.
So you literally treated it like a 5-day-a-week job.
Yeah, I guess that's one way of putting it. I mean, it kind of never stopped. I mean, it's not like I was ever truly off duty in that sense, but the majority of the hard stuff was kind of done those first 5 days of the week. Mm-hmm. And towards the weekend is when I kind of let loose just a little bit, you know, because I knew that if I went too much, if I went too far, if I had, you know, if I went too crazy having, you know, 5 slices of pizza or something, I know that they would throw me off for an entire week, you know, or like, you know, half a week. Mm-hmm. So I would always, I kind of be cognizant of that. But, you know, it's kind of a balance you have to strike mm-hmm. between going out and being social and not, you know, not being that kind of stick in the mud. I can't eat this. And I should note a lot of times I failed with that. I think I'd go out and I had a lot of people look at me and they'd always be like, what's with the 3 tons of vegetables you're eating? You know, why not the mozzarella sticks or something? You know.
Did you tell anybody? Like, look, I'm competing, or did you just keep it to yourself? Did you ever run into, like, was it easier to just not say? Or because we've had other people say mm-hmm. they eventually just people were bugging them enough that they're like, look, I'm just in a contest. I got 4 weeks to go. Everyone was like, oh, okay, we get it. Did you cross that bridge with certain people, or how'd you deal with that?
It depends on the person. I know right off the bat, the first day of the contest, I was with my girlfriend. We're going out to eat, and she's like, "Well, where do you want to go?" And it kind of popped into my head. I had to make the right choice here, and I just had to tell her right at the bat. I'm like, "I'm going to be in a contest for the next 12 weeks. So for the next 12 weeks, I'm pretty much going to be hitting the gym like every day or as much as I possibly can." And I'm gonna be watching what I eat. So I'm just gonna give you that warning. Now that's kind of how I treated her. But I want to say most people I kind of just tried not to try to keep that in the background. I just I kind of told people I was just watching what I'm eating. I kind of tried to downplay it as much as I could. But I think there are certain times for those past 12 weeks where it's kind of obvious. Where I wasn't the one, I kind of stood out, not stuffing my face silly or going out for a bowl of ice cream or something,
Mm. Yeah. You know what's funny is a lot of times you just kind of have to come to grips with the fact that it's okay to try something different every once in a while and convey that. Like a perfect example is right now, I'll be honest, I got kind of lazy about shaving. And so after about 3 days, I was like, this thing's kind of coming in. I wonder what I look like with a beard, because I've never done it before, right? So right now I'm kind of growing a little beard. I'm probably not going to keep it because I don't think I like the way it looks, but, Elle doesn't like it. She hates it. Mm. She's like, when are you going to shave that thing off? I was like, maybe in about 5 days. She's like, why? I'm like, I've never done it. I just want to see what it looks like, and go from there just to say. Because I'm always kind of doing stuff like that, and it sounds like that's kind of the way you were kind of treating it as well. It's like, I'm trying something new, if it doesn't work.
I think that's definitely kind of the approach I had. I kind of just, I was kind of just telling people, look, I'm taking a few weeks to really, approach my lifestyle about how I'm eating and this and that. I didn't try to go into great detail upon it. Because I think one of the reasons I didn't want to say I'm in a contest, and if for whatever reason the end result my final photographs came out really poorly, I probably wouldn't want to tell people who are then just going to ask to take a look at those. Sure. If I somehow halfway into it I couldn't follow through. So I think for my own personal benefit I tried to keep in the DL, so to speak.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, one of the things, and this is what you're talking about. We talked about, I forget who we were talking about this with, but the whole thing now it seems like is that the more that you can kind of internalize your goals, and it sounds like that's what you did. Mm-hmm. You really don't have to explain things to people. It's more, okay, I've internalized, I'm not externalizing my goals. I'm not telling everybody in the world what I'm trying to do. Because for some reason that tends to take away all the power of what you're trying to do. But when you kind of internalize them and kind of own them and not feel like you have to explain things to people, you're like, yeah, I'm just trying something new. And people are just like, oh, okay. And you just have that, like, just that confidence about it. It's like, yeah, I'm trying mm-hmm. something new. We'll see how it works out. And it just kind of drops. But at the same point, you also have the confidence, or you kind of have this internal, I don't want to say power. I mean, I hate sounding foo-foo-y, but it's just kind of a powerful feeling because you're kind of marching to the beat of your own drum and making a decision to do something for yourself.
Yeah. And so it was definitely definitely an internal drive. Mm-hmm. I kind of made that decision, and I kind of didn't want to let external factors, you know, kind of come between me and my goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to do everything I personally could to get to that point that I was trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like to me that most of the stuff that you run into, you know, kind of I call them the cancers, like the cancers against whatever goal you have. There are certain things that are just cancers. Like for a lot of people, there are certain foods that are just going to be cancers. Like, and you can't negotiate with cancer. You have to eliminate it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you know that like ice cream is something that you just, if it's in the house, you're going to eat it. I mean, you have to get rid of it. You can't negotiate with it and say, I'm only going to have two or three bites, but you have to be okay with that because that's, you know, that's what it is. And you're just having a strength and you're like, all right, well, instead of, it just allowed when you,
I guess, and part of it is the duration of the contest for that. It's,
sure.
You can, we're not saying don't have it ever again, but towards, even over the 12 weeks, maybe it just needs to tighten up towards the end. Like Andrew, and actually maybe this is a good segue, you said this, the second half of the contest was required, you know, magnitudes more effort than the first half. Can you give us can you kind of walk us through that and why you say that and how that felt sort of?
So the first few weeks, the weight was kind of coming off, you know, relatively steadily. And then I think probably around the halfway point, maybe even a little bit before the halfway point, I noticed that like the scale would not really, budge as much. And I noticed that I would have to put like 10 times the amount of energy to get, you know, my waistline down farther. I think it was the difference between like, you know, I heard Brad say this, so I should preface this, but it's a difference between taking the, you know, losing bloat and losing water weight and losing fat. And I think once I got to the point where I didn't have any water weight or bloat, and I was just literally trying to burn fat, that's when it really, you know, that's when you really have to put in the energy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where, you know, I would just do, when I first started, it was like one fast a week, then it became two fasts, and then I realized, I had to definitely start, you know, clamping down on what I was, you know, the food I was, you know, everything. I tried to go even lower and low calories. And then I started to try to go a little longer with my fast. I didn't really, I know some people probably did in like 48 hour fast. I think the most I was able to do was maybe like a 30 hour, just because my lifestyle, didn't really permit it. There's usually, I'd usually have something that I kind of had to attend. So I kind of, the biggest stretch I was able to do is maybe, you know, a little bit more than 30 hours or so, but
Did you add any extra work, or did you just stick to the workout towards the end there?
Especially toward that second half, I'd add an extra day. I was doing the muscle building foundations, and that was 5 days a week. So I would add a sixth day of, you know, the next day of the previous week. And I'd kind of do 6 days in a row. I'd take one day off, 6 days in a row. Because I knew that also, since I didn't have a lot of fat to lose, the main difference of, you know, the best thing I can hope to do is to get my muscles, you know, looking as good as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to put in that extra effort. Early on in the contest, I tried to screw around, you know, did a few weeks one session per week of doing the shoulder, the what do they call it, the
booster,
traditional, yeah, shoulder booster. But I kind of thought it'd be best, I kind of, as it went on, to add that extra day. I just thought it would keep me progressing a little quicker, and that just kind of worked with my flow a little better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. And yeah, the boosters weren't really meant to fit with MBF. I mean, 6 days a week of MBF is tough too. But I mean, that's impressive that you got through that.
Oh yeah, by the end of it, on a low calorie diet, I was I was pretty much ready to snap. But I think what made it easy, at least mentally, you know, was going, oh, well, I'm only doing this. It's not for the rest of my life. I'm doing this for 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by the halfway point, oh, it's only 6 weeks. Oh, I've only got, you know, 4 weeks left, you know. So it just kind of kept counting in my head. I think so that helped me with, you know, my mental strength to keep me working is knowing that, you know, I'm only doing this for a few weeks, and then I'm going to go back to my regular workouts, and, you know, hopefully things will calm down a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's actually, since the contest, have you been maintaining more or less that new leaner look?
Yes. Right after the contest was Thanksgiving, and I stuffed myself silly that day, and I noticed my waistline started to expand a little bit, so I really put a tremendous amount of energy to keep my waist down, get back to that contest look, and for the most part, I'm pretty much at the look I was during the, you know, right at the contest, but mm-hmm. I was hoping that I'd be able to go back into more of a, like, a maintenance sort of diet. Although, unfortunately, I find that every time I start upping my calories, my waist starts getting a little larger. So I found a nice little comfortable, you know, pace with my low calories, you know, a few fasts per week, that it's just kind of a rhythm that I had developed during the contest that I think I'm going to try to stick with. You know, or at least until I'm comfortable, that, you know, feel that confident that if I raise my calories a little higher, you know, that my waist isn't going to go, you know, up.
Mm-hmm. So now, right now, you're in the experimental phase of finding what eating to energy expenditure is at this new look.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, because I notice it's a very fine line. Sometimes, you know, I'll wake up in the morning. It's kind of an experiment. I've been checking my waistline at various points in time of the day, and I notice if I eat certain foods, you know, the night before, or if I have a certain size dinner, my waistline will be drastically different from two mornings to the next. Or, you know, of course, between a fasting day and a non-fasting day, you know, all sorts of weird fluctuations, and I'm just trying to figure out how I can go about getting that rhythm where I don't have to think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I mean, at this point, you're also looking at a point at where, you know, what you eat, you know, is going to have a dramatic impact on how you look from day to day, just like you're talking about. I mean, you could easily, you know, hold bloat almost hour to hour.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And John talks about that quite a bit.
And the interesting thing is, when you get as lean as you've gotten to, that's mm-hmm. when you can see really acute changes. Like, someone who's got 40 pounds to lose wouldn't know if one meal changes the look of them. They wouldn't know if a higher or low-carb meal does anything. Whereas you can actually look a few hours later and be like, whoa, that meal blurred my abs. That other meal seemed to tighten me up a bit. And that's the thing. I think a lot of the diet advice people get is – works on someone as lean as you. It doesn't work on people who have, like, a long way to go. And that's where the whole, does a higher low-carb meal earlier or later in the day actually change your look? And, like, you're at a state where you can see it, but most people aren't even lean enough to see that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely a new experience for me to be able to, you know, carbs are the perfect example. You know, if I have a high carb meal, that will definitely affect my look. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting, you know, observation of which foods, you know, which foods you have affect how your end result is when you look in the mirror. It you know.
And this is a good experiment you're doing now, because are you going to be entering the Open?
That's my goal. Yeah, I mean, good. That's what I was hoping to. One of the reasons I'm hoping to keep my waistline down is that way I don't have to put a tremendous amount of effort to lose a lot of to wait for the Open. So I was hoping just to keep maintaining, and do my best to build as much muscle in the meantime. And, you know, with any luck, you know, I should be looking good for the Open. Yeah.
Oh man. If your last pictures are any indication, I think you're going to look great for the Open.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. You know, you're playing around with it right now, and you know, who knows what you end up finding. I mean, you may find that even holding that level of leanness is just kind of too much worry for your life.
And if I can add something in here now,
go ahead.
That's very smart that you're playing around with it. If I were you, I would even take pictures and for everyone listening, do the same thing. For especially the lean guys, take pictures, monitor what it is that you ate and how far after the look is, and if you can, have that in, I don't know, just like a little catalog of this is what I ate, this is the picture that afterwards. Mm-hmm. And just mess around with that for a week or two while you're still lean and try to stay lean. But I mean, since you're so closely removed from the show, and then towards the open, towards the end, when it's time to take all your after pictures, you can go back and look, oh yeah, after eating this, 6 hours later was when I looked lean, but you know, 2 hours after that I looked and at least you know, because I just kind of went through that, and we're now I'm experimenting. I'm kind of 24 hours into changing the way I eat, changing, like I was dehydrated, now I'm hydrated, and my look is changing literally every 6 hours. And I'm trying to catalog that, and I did pictures last night, I did them this morning, I'm going to do again tonight, and then tomorrow morning, and then I'll have this sort of 48-hour run, and I'm just piecing together what I've eaten, and how much I've drank, or how little I drank, that kind of stuff, and so I have like a fasted picture, and so what I'm saying is, doing that now is great, because when you get to the open, you'll be like, ah, I know that this meal is a mistake, but that meal's not, and you'll eventually kind of know what's going to get you to the look you're after.
Right. And the other thing, just for everyone listening right now, I mean, just remember, this is, we're splitting hairs right now. We're talking about, you know, the last 10 or last five. I mean, if you're over 10% body fat, I mean, this isn't going to apply.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's a difference there. I mean, just understand that. I mean, basically, it's a whole different ball game when you start going sub 10%, and that's when the math becomes a lot more important. You know, your mindset becomes even more important, because a lot of the changes are a little more acute, and you kind of have to be, your awareness has to be a little bit more sharpened on what you're doing. You know, and granted, that this is only for people that are interested in taking it that far. I mean,
that's true.
You could get to 10%-ish just by doing just the simple stuff, just the regular stuff, and you could be fine with that, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, I mean, that's my guess is about 10% is probably, from what I can tell,
where the game starts to change.
Not only where the game starts to change, but it's pretty easy to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
10-11%. I think that's, for most people, that's probably going to be right around that Pareto's principle of 20% of the work equals 80% of the results, that type of thing.
You can almost view that as that's striking distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's where it is. You know, that's the striking distance that we talk about. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you could get there just kind of normally, just with the normal stuff we talk about, and then if you really want to take it to the house, you know, we're working on some other strategies, and that's what we're kind of teasing out right now to kind of give you an idea of what's going on with that. So,
yes.
So Andrew, what were some of the other things that you kind of came across with? I mean, we talked about a few other things. Obviously, the scale didn't change as much, but the tape measure did change. The cuts changed. You know, what did that feel like? What was it, kind of frustrating? Was it, were you banging your head against the wall? I mean, mentally, was it draining? You know, what were some of the things you went through with that?
It was definitely frustrating, but I think, I was just working towards that goal of the, you know, the end of the contest. So I tried, you know, I especially when I had a few weeks left, I would, you know, I'd be like, well, I've got 3 weeks to go. I've got plenty of time to make up for it. And I just told myself, just gotta keep inching forward. I try not to dwell too much on, it was frustrating, yes, but I tried to dwell too much on getting to that next level. Which that next, you know, that those next few inches on the waist is, you know, which take a tremendous amount of effort. I think, I just kind of focused on the end result, that end day, and just, you know, trying to get worked up on that too much.
Sure.
When did you even decide to enter the contest? I guess this goes into more of a bigger story. When did you actually even get on board with us, and how did you find us? And then walk us through how you came about to find us, and then when you ended up deciding the contest, like the whole story.
It's kind of a long story. I think I just stumbled upon some videos on YouTube. I think this is probably right around the time you guys first came out with the whole thing. This is a few years back, and I had signed up for your mailing list, and I had been in the mailing list for, I don't know, over a year, 2 years, some pretty, you know, fairly long amount of time. I just kind of been reading and listening to the podcast, and I think it was right around the time the last contest, I think the second contest, I saw the photographs, and I think I saw Jason's photographs in particular, and I said, you know, because I'd been working out, I'd been a member of a gym for about a year prior, and I've been trying to do it on my own, and I just had not had the results that I had been hoping for. So I'd seen, in particular, Jason's photographs, and I said, well, I kind of wanted to get that to that level, I guess. So I signed up right, you know, pretty shortly after that second contest, and that I think mentally for me, that's kind of when the contest started. Although technically it started on the 1st of September, I think. And actually, when the 1st of September hit, I like kind of went into overdrive with it all. But I knew from the day I signed up, from the day of that first workout, that I was going to enter the contest, and I kind of wanted to get the wheels flowing as early as I can. So I don't know how long of a time after that end of that contest was and the beginning of the next one that I joined. I spent that period of time kind of revving up. I went through through my workouts, trying to get out, you know, get in the rhythm of everything essentially. And that's kind of where I got to that point where I said, you know, so I knew pretty early on that I was gonna do the contest. I just it was almost a matter of just waiting till the start of the contest. And I think it was once that contest hit, it was when I kind of just went into double. You know, I everything I was doing, I just did it double. You know, mm-hmm. I started off. You know, when I first started, I didn't even fast. I wasn't even really looking. You know, the first few weeks when I first signed up, I wasn't even looking at my diet. It was only kind of not too long before the beginning of the contest is when I started. You know, focusing on my diet and all that. And I think just kind of when the contest hit, I already had the momentum going. So it was just easy enough for me to, everything I was doing, just work twice as hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did it feel once? This is kind of one of the weird things that, you know, we've talked about it with a couple of people, but and it sounds like you're probably going to be no different in this regard. But how did it feel once you got diet down? And once you kind of decided that you were going to kind of keep track of it a little bit and pay mm-hmm. attention to it, you know, after that first week or so, and, you know, was it kind of like a holy shit moment?
It was kind of a moment of, I didn't realize how much went into it. I think, mm-hmm. I think that was the best way of phrasing it. Like I hear people, I lost 50 pounds in 3 weeks. You know, you hear these numbers thrown about at you left and right, you know. I don't think I ever quite knew personally what it took to get to that point. Because going into it, I never really thought, you know, I kind of thought of myself as a lean guy. So I didn't really think I needed to put the effort in to lose weight. I think my mentality was, well, I just need to just build muscle. I'll be good to go. And I think it wasn't until that I think it was really, really when the contest started, in the beginning of it, and especially towards the end there, when I finally, kind of finally hit me, how hard it is, to really get to that final look, you know, and to lose that, I can only imagine, you know, with people, you know, who have to lose like 100 pounds, how much effort that would be, because it was it was kind of a holy crap moment, but it kind of snuck up on me. It didn't happen, you know, right off the bat. I think it creeped up, and it wasn't towards the final weeks that it really hit me.
So as the 12 weeks are going along, you're like, oh my God, this is getting actually harder. Give me your thoughts right off when you saw your before and after, and you actually saw the change. What did that mean to you? What did you think when you saw it?
It's kind of this odd kind of duality in my head where one half of me, I kind of look in the mirror and how I look now is kind of how I've always looked. You know, even though I've changed, it's kind of, you know, it just I'm not surprised when I take off my shirt and I look in the mirror. But the second half of me, there are these moments where I guess I kind of have that still ingrained in my head, the mentality of I'm not a very athletic sort of guy. I think actually you spoke about this in the book, the Adonis effect, where you were saying that how you always have that inferiority complex. Oh, I'm too small.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I kind of will have that moment, and then every now and then, you know, where I'm thinking, oh, I don't have enough muscle mass on me, and I'll kind of look at those pictures and I go, well. It's a huge difference, you know, and it's the huge difference that I think I kind of have to look at it and it's kind of like a smack to my face every now and then, just to remember where I had been to where I am now. It's just one of those kind of like, this is just kind of like the life I'm living, but at the same time, it's, you know, I just can't quite remember what it's like to be, you know, as soft as I was, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, a lot of guys are going to look to your pictures as a model of what they're going to try to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of guys have different, I don't know, I mean, inferiority complexes are kind of one thing, but it's almost like something to prove to themselves at the same time. I mean, like, for instance, John wrote about his. I mean, for me, like, when I was in high school, I didn't finish growing until I was well into college. Yet I was always good at sports. So from my perspective, I'm a little bit different than a lot of other guys where I'm very athletic. But I was just undersized. And so it's kind of one of those things where now I'm like, man, it's almost like kind of being able to relive a dream a little bit. And kind of think to yourself, well, man, if I was this size now, back then, you know, because there were a lot of guys my age that were kind of my size now,
but right? Back then,
oh yeah, sure, exactly. And so it's kind of, I don't want to say unfair. I mean, it just is what it is. But it's kind of reassuring, or maybe not reassuring, but kind of satisfying, you know, being able to think, I'm like, you know what, man, maybe I could have done something. I mean, hell, dude, I was recruited by D3 schools and stuff like that for baseball and basketball. So, but, you know, where could it have been? And so from my perspective, you know, that's kind of my little inferiority complex around it all.
Yeah, if you just had the physical size, you could have maybe been a top level athlete, and it's not for lack of athleticism. It's just purely you just weren't packaged in a big enough vessel.
Oh sure, I mean I could jump out of the gym. Mm-hmm. You know, I was 5'8" and dunking easy. So it's that's kind of my side of it. So everybody kind of has their like little internal demon, I guess you could say, which is really interesting because you brought that up. I don't think I've ever talked about that one on my side, but. That's pretty interesting. One thing I wanted to touch on really quickly and just kind of go back to one moment, and it's about the kind of the leanness that you talked about. You were like, I'm you thought you were already lean. You're like, well, I'm a lean guy. But then, lo and behold, you still shed off 19 pounds.
Did you even think you had that much to get rid of?
I didn't know. like I was.
What was your finishing weight and what's your height?
I'm 5'11" and my finishing weight was 150.
And would you have believed that that's the weight you would have? First of all, you're visually just, it doesn't come across. I mean, you look bigger, and that's part of the illusion of being lean. Did you even believe that was possible? And did you believe that's the weight you'd have been?
No, I you know, in all honesty, going into this, I would have thought, if anything, I would have had to have gained 20 pounds to get that sort of look, rather than lose 20 pounds. It was the exact opposite of what I expected going into this.
Let me stop you right there. And now, what would you say to other guys who think, oh man, I want to gain 20 pounds?
I've heard people talk like that, and I just don't think people recognize that when you gain 20 pounds, especially if you're gaining in a short period of time, you know, a few weeks, it's all fat. Mm-hmm. So you might look bigger, but like I see these big guys in my gym, and they're really big. They got wide shoulders and all that, but then you look at their gut, and it's just, you know, it's just like in a 50-inch waist or whatever, and
it's shirt on big.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you know, do you want to take off your shirt and have a big gut, or do you want that, you know, that nice taper? I mean, it's a huge difference. The mentality of what you have to think about when you're approaching it. It's just a complete 360 from what I thought you would have had to have done. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you start knocking it down. I mean, I've said time and time again, I mean, I'm roughly about 175-ish right now, somewhere around in there, give or take, depending on the day. And, you know, I started out at 215. I mean, if you would have told me I'd drop down 40 pounds and still probably have a little bit to go, I'd be like, yeah, you're crazy. I mean, I was thinking 190, and I'd be pretty diesel, but then, yeah, it's ridiculous. Heck, even my buddy B at the gym, just a while ago, I was talking to him because he looks a little bit plumper because now he's in between shows and stuff, and he's got one in May. And when he was on stage, he was at 185, and I was like, dang, dude, what are you weighing right now? He's like 220. It's like 220. I was like, holy cow, man, that's like 35 pounds and literally in like 3 weeks that he's put back on, right? But it was noticeable. So and he knows, he's no dummy. He's like, yeah, I guess I loosened up a little bit.
Well, yeah, and the interesting thing that you said here, Andrew and Brad, you said it's kind of to look bigger, you've got to get lighter.
Mm.
Think about that. To actually look bigger, you have to get lighter. And that's the shirt off look big, not the – because in your pictures, you look bigger in your afters even though you're technically significantly lighter.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean – head-to-head, which guy, you know, if you were to meet the previous you or the after you, which one looks more muscular?
Yeah, I, like I said, if you had showed me that photograph myself, I wouldn't have believed that, you know, I would have had to have lost almost 20 pounds to get to that look. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, I think it's just the mentality of most, a lot of these guys out there, I find, you know, at least, and most of the people I talk to is always gain, but it's never gain at what cost, you know, what's that final look, you know?
Now imagine this, did you say 5'11"?
Yes.
And your final picture's 150?
Yes.
Now imagine yourself 5'11", 165 in those final pictures. You'd be enormous.
Yeah.
And that's only 165, that still sounds light. But putting it in context of the weight that you are in your final pick, imagine putting 15 more pounds of lean mass on that frame. Like, people don't conceive of it that way, but it's the total body weight is irrelevant. It's the body weight plus the look that matters.
Mm. Yeah. Which I mean, you're about mine and John's size, so height-wise. Mm. So, I mean, actually, I think both of us are the same height.
No, I'm the same height. Yeah, I might be a little bit taller.
Yeah, I mean, you might have him by an inch, but I mean, but literally, yeah. So we're all about the same. So yeah, I mean, obviously between John and I weigh about the same, look kind of close to the same. I mean, so yeah, you've got some room to grow as well. So that's something else to.
That's what I'm trying to say. You've got lots of room to grow.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of 28.
Yeah, okay. You got lots of room to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool too. So I mean, there's still more to go, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I had something I was going to ask you a little bit ago, but it kind of slipped my mind. John, you got anything else you want to touch on really quickly?
No, I think we can just start to wrap this one up because we've covered quite a few things. So Andrew, for other guys like around where, that are in your similar, I guess, look and situation, what are your two or three big takeaway points and the advice you'd give another guy who is maybe like you, kind of lean, thinks he doesn't have much, thinks he's pretty lean, but you know, wants to make a change and maybe isn't quite getting what they want? What's the one thing you'd say to them?
My first approach would be, if you want that muscular sort of look, if you want to increase your, that look, it actually takes a tremendous amount of effort. So don't expect to be able to do it like one or 2 days. Yeah, exactly. Isn't it just, you don't stumble upon it. And I think that's also one of the things that I was thinking. You could be able to do this in 1 or 2 days a week at the gym. I think you have to know, you have to put in the effort. And the second thing is even if you're lean, you still have to, beware of your waistline and just try to get that ratio as good as you can. Cause I think if you keep those two, if you work your ass off and then you make sure that, your waist is nice and lean, while at the same time doing your best to build up the muscles and all that, I think that's pretty much the best approach, That's all you can really say.
So the reverse of bulking and cutting, cut and then build muscle.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, if anything, build and cut at the same time, build muscles and try to lose fat, which is kind of, I never really kind of heard of that concept before I started getting into this whole thing, but you can do both. You can juggle both at the same time. So I don't really see, why anyone really, really wouldn't. Because I've heard people go, I kind of want to lose, X amount of weight, and then I'll start worrying about, going to the gym. And it's, or just the opposite. I want to get muscular enough, then I can try to cut down. I think you can do both. You cut down while you're gaining muscle, and I think it's definitely doable at the same time.
Yeah, it's just a matter of perspective and where you're, what you're comparing. I mean, a lot of people try to compare apples and oranges. I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you're, growing muscle and what you lift at the end of, what you lift right before you go into a deficit, obviously while you're in a deficit, you're probably not going to be able to lift that much, but throughout that deficit, yes, your strength will increase relative to being in that deficit. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've seen that across the board, but you can't compare apples to oranges. I mean, and that's what a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, when I was eating, normally I'm lifting 300 pounds, but now that I'm in a deficit, the most I can get is 240, but 2 weeks ago I was only doing 230 in a deficit. Yeah. Well, technically you're stronger then. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the difference. I guess the one thing I remember that I wanted to talk about really quickly and just touch on, because John, you were talking about this, about why when you start to get leaner, you start to look bigger, and why 1.5 seems to be that threshold. I was thinking that, and because you were saying that, and this was in another interview, that it seems like people can see through you, see through your clothes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, once you get past 1.5 AI ratio, it seems like you can't hide it in your clothes anymore.
You know what I think it is? Mm-hmm. I think it's because if you're wearing the right size clothes, now that's kind of the key. I mean, you can't be wearing extra larges if you would fit in a medium. That's just the way it is. But I think what it is that the traps and the shoulders just look sharp. Like you can see the sharpness.
Mm. Right, yeah, there's actually, yeah, I've actually had people say that. during this last cutdown I did, some people were saying, "Oh, I can start seeing the shape of your traps and shoulders through your shirt."
Yeah.
Whereas before it's one big sort of mass, now it mm-hmm. has division.
Sure.
So that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, that's my best guess. I was kind of looking around at people in the gym earlier today and people that were.
And that's probably an artifact of leanness as well as the ratio, but I guess the ratio comes with leanness, so it's one and the same.
Sure, exactly. Well, cool. Well, I don't have anything else to touch on. Andrew, did you have anything else that you want to touch on? Any closing remarks that you wanted to kind of impart on the rest of the community?
I think we pretty much summed it up. I mean, sounds good to me.
Cool, man. John, you got anything?
No, Andrew, I just want to thank you for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.